ETC is go.
Pacifist is go.
ETC is go.
Copy, S is go.
Houston flight is go.
Pilot go.
STM is go.
Safety cost is go.
STU is go.
LRD is go.
SRO is go.
CDI is go.
Launch director NTD, our launch team is ready to proceed at this time.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Brightside Patriots has a message for liberals and the mainstream media.
You can't handle the truth.
So, buckle up, snowflakes, because we're about to deliver the politically direct best in conservative commentary, news, and investigative reports. We're telling the truth, and we're not gonna stop. Okay, liberals, back under the bridge with the rest of your fellow trolls, and oh yeah, thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots.
They are special, special people
on RSPRadio1.com. Welcome to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. Craig Andreessen from the National Patriot, and Diane Sorey at the Patriot Factor. And Diane, it's not Friday, it's Saturday.
It's Saturday, and we're cutting a podcast of what would have been last night's show for the simple fact that being new to being the owners of a radio station, we've still got some kinks to work out radio board-wise and things like that.
Well, and let's just be perfectly honest about what happened last night. We were locked and loaded, you and I. We were ready to broadcast at 7 p.m. Eastern time. And all of a sudden, we had no audio levels for Diane.
Yeah.
I had audio levels. Diane didn't. And we went through a whole raft of stuff. We tried pushing buttons and moving levers and twisting dials, and we couldn't get anything to work. So we had to apologize last night. Some of you who may have been tuned in probably heard that. And then we got the IT team on it, and it's a Skype issue.
Right. And isn't that quite funny, for lack of a better word, because here it is. We've got top-notch servers, top-notch broadcaster. We've got everything we're supposed to have. All of that is working perfectly.
Right.
And it's a Skype issue.
Skype comes up and bites us in the keister.
Yeah.
You know, but we figured it out. It took a while. Probably took close to an hour. But we finally got it figured out. Excuse me, folks. I'm going through allergies right now. They flared up on me last night. But we got it figured out, and we thought, you know what? We've got information that we need to get out there to people. We'll do a podcast. We'll cut it on Saturday. That's today. And we'll get it out as quick as possible so you guys can kind of catch up to what the information that we've got. It's going to be an abbreviated podcast, only 90 minutes. But here's what we're going to be talking about today. In my segment, I'm talking about Patriots Rising. That's going to be about an hour from right now. Before that, Diane has got Pandora's Box Open versus Medical Truths. Okay, and there's a lot of information in both of these segments that you really need to know, things you really need to be paying attention to. So hang on for that. But we're going to start with quick hitters tonight.
Yes.
We've got four quick hitters that, this is just stuff that comes across the news feeds, and we look at it and we go, that might be interesting, or that might be kind of silly. That one there is stupid, and it's just right for what we like to open the show with. To begin with tonight, this afternoon, this morning, whatever you're listening to this, Saturday, Democrats are planning to censure a Michigan state representative by the name of Karen Whitsitt because she gave President Trump credit for her getting hydroxychloroquine, which cleared up her case of COVID-19.
Right. She even went so far as to say that if it wasn't for President Trump, the drug would not have been accessible to patients like herself. And she also gave him credit when she said in less than 2 hours after receiving the drug, she began to feel relief. She was in serious trouble. The woman couldn't breathe. She was gasping for breath. And then because of the access that her hospital was able to get of the hydroxychloroquine, within 2 hours, she took a turn for the better.
She literally gave President Trump credit for saving her life. She said, if he hadn't been, you know, talking about hydroxychloroquine, if he hadn't been a champion of that particular treatment, she doesn't think she would have ever gotten it. And she was in, you know, critical shape when they finally gave it to her. And within a matter of hours, she was much, much better. So she comes out. She praises President Trump for being a champion of a treatment that actually is working in people.
Right.
Is it for everybody? No.
No.
Does it have side effects? Yes. Some people probably shouldn't take it. But that's up to your doctors. You see, you don't buy this stuff over the counter.
There's a big but to that, Craig. This drug has been used for over 65 years for malaria. And now, in the past decade or so, it's also been used to treat lupus.
Right.
So it's a commonly used drug. This is not something suddenly manufactured as a mystery cure. Look what we got. No, this drug has been around literally over half a century.
Well, and that's true, but nonetheless, it does have some side effects for some people.
Yeah.
And this is why you can't buy it over the counter. It's a prescription med. And, you know, if you've got the COVID, you need to talk to your physician. And if your physician says you're okay to take it and gives you a prescription for it, then there you go. But because she gave credit to President Trump, the Democrat Party in Michigan, and remember, she's a Michigan state representative.
Okay? Right.
They're going to censure her because how dare she, a Democrat, give credit to President Trump for anything.
Look, people don't realize how many lives President Trump has saved because of this drug, because of him pushing this drug. I personally know one who got saved by this drug. 5 days into agony, thinking he was like one step away from the ventilator, literally. And they decided we're going to give him the drug cocktail and the antibodies that have been gathered from people who have already been exposed and survived.
Right, right.
And within hours, headache was gone, fever broke, breathing easier, and 2 days later he was sent home.
There you go. See?
Mm-hmm.
There you go. So we're going to follow that, and by Tuesday we'll probably have maybe a little bit more information as to what the powers that be there in Michigan do. You know, Michigan's got other problems too, because their governor is now she's getting a lot of blowback.
Well, she's not a governor. She's a de facto dictator.
Well, that, yeah. You know, so we'll kind of stay on top of that whole Michigan situation for you folks. Next up in the quick hitters, John Brennan. It's a name we haven't heard for a while, and thankfully so. But John Brennan back in the news because it turns out that when John Brennan was heading up the CIA, and this goes back to 2016 and the infamous election, he was providing cover for Hillary's collusion with Russia.
Correct. And he actually didn't believe that the Russians tried to interfere in the election.
Well,
he
but
he just didn't believe it.
I don't know if I believe that. And I'll tell you why, because some of the documents that have now gone public show quite clearly that Putin and Russia were actually hoping Hillary was going to win. And we all remember how Russia went out and bought a whole bunch of Facebook advertising.
Yeah, for about $100,000 or so. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's Russian style collusion. That's how they interfered in our election.
Facebook.
yeah, Facebook. But they were trying to get Hillary elected, not President Trump. They were trying to get Hillary elected, and because they knew Hillary would be, soft as wet pudding when it came to any steps, taken with Russia. And Brennan, what he was doing was he was pretending there was nothing going on so that nobody would catch on that Russia wanted Hillary.
Right. Right. And it even goes farther than that. Biden was also involved in it a bit, but that's...
No.
That's for another
thing. Not Joe.
Yeah. However, he has basically admitted that Schiff did meet with the whistleblower about all this.
I know it.
And here it is. Schiff is up there lying to the American public when you have John Brennan now coming out basically saying, yeah, Schiff did meet with him.
Of course he did. We know it. Everybody knows it.
Right.
The only person pretending it didn't happen is Schiff.
Right.
It's interesting. These documents that were declassified that tie Brennan to a lot of these misdeeds, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
They are so heavily redacted, it's hard to see anything. It's hard to read anything in them. But what isn't redacted is pretty telling.
Right, right. And basically, what it boiled down to is that Brennan's team at that time allowed no dissenting views or even an annex to reviews that were given by outside experts of what had gone on. In other words, it was their word. You take our word. We're, the big shots here. We're the big guns. You listen to us and nobody else.
Yeah, when you say outside experts, folks, mm-hmm. use your air quotes.
Of course.
There. These were puppets. These were CIA puppets. They weren't outside experts. And, here's the line, here's the company line, nobody questions the company line, we're in control, everything's fine, move along, nothing to see here.
Right, and these were basically what they considered violations of intelligence community rules to ensure that any analysis done were accurate and trusted also. And the Senate committee, Schiff's Chucky's committee, when they took over, they basically ignored the violations that had been committed by Schiff and crew.
Well, I don't know. Are you shocked?
No.
Okay.
Just reporting a fact. I'm not shocked in the least.
Look, it's all coming to light now via the official documents, right? But, Diane, this is nothing that neither you nor I haven't covered. I mean, we've covered this extensively back mm-hmm. when it was all going on, back when Schiff was doing his investigation, back during the Mueller report days. We had this all. We we looked at this. We went to sources that most people can't, and we named Brennan. We said, here's what he knows. And now, all these months, years later, now it's once again showing we got it right.
We got a lot of it right, but because we're not, on Fox News or CNN or, any of the alphabets. You know, who are we?
Right.
Even though we get it right.
Right. But, you know, that's the way it is. Next up, since we just got done talking about Hillary, let's talk about Billy Boy Clinton. Mm-hmm. And as we just finished talking about the CIA, let's bring them up again, too, because now it turns out that as president, Billy Clinton stopped the CIA from doing what, Diane?
From killing Osama bin Laden. And folks, when you think about it, his preventing that killing, Bill Clinton has the death of 3,000 Americans on his head.
You think about this. You go back to those days, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Bin Laden. You know, nobody had heard the name. I mean, outside of intelligence circles, nobody had heard the name. But
right.
Inside the intel community, Bin Laden was already a big deal, even when Billy Boy was in office.
Yes, he was.
Okay, so the CIA knew what was going on. They knew the potential danger of Bin Laden. They knew what Bin Laden wanted. They knew what his agenda was, right?
Right.
So they came up with a plan, they being the CIA, came up with a plan by which to dispatch permanently of Bin Laden. It's part of what the CIA does.
Okay? Right.
They take the plan, they go to the White House, they say, here's the deal, here's what this Bin Laden creep is doing, here's where he wants to be down the road, here's the agenda, here's the plan, we can take him out. Bill Clinton says no, and then has a law passed to make exactly that kind of action illegal.
Right, and where this is all coming out, it's in a movie called The Longest War, and it's the inside story of the hunt for Bin Laden. Now, this is not just Hollywood fodder here, folks. This is the story of the CIA agents who have now ratted Billy Boy out and who were furious during the 90s because they had direct contact with tribal leaders. They knew where Bin Laden was. They wanted to take him out. And Billy Boy would not allow it.
Now, remember,
I think of him as a threat.
Remember, folks, at least twice, Billy Boy was offered Bin Laden by the Saudis.
Correct. And he turned him down.
Turned him down both times. Said, nope, mm-hmm. Don't want him. Not a concern.
Right. I mean, this 9/11, I mean, 2001. 9/11 did not have to happen. And I don't know why America is not up in arms about this.
Now, think about it. You've got Bill Clinton, twice that we knew of, was offered Bin Laden, twice that we knew of, turned it down. The CIA went to Bill Clinton and said, we can take the guy out.
Mm-hmm.
Bill Clinton said no. And then you get 9/11, and then you get the other 9/11 courtesy of Bill Clinton's wife.
Right. And nothing's being done. Absolutely nothing is being done. And not only do you have the other Benghazi, not only do you have Benghazi because of Hillary, but you got to throw Obama into that mix too.
Oh, sure you do.
It's a three-for package right there.
It is.
And nobody is doing anything about it. You know, Hillary asked, what difference does it make? How about over 3,000 Americans would probably still be alive today, along with the Benghazi four?
Well, and think of how many Americans... Think of how many Americans died in the aftermath of 9/11, 2001.
Right.
From the sicknesses they got from working at Ground Zero.
They're still dying.
Think of all the families that are left without moms and dads and husbands and wives and brothers and sisters and so on and so forth because of that. you know, this is damning, or at least I should say it would be damning to anybody but the Clintons.
Right. Right. They seem to get away with murder all the time.
Literally. Literally.
I mean, we got a body count here in this country. What is it up to, about 89 now?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, add in 3,000 plus the Benghazi 4. That's mass murder, folks.
Well,
and the Clintons are still walking free.
Think about it this way, too. If Hillary could have just waited, if she could have just ridden out the storm for like another 9 months, 10 months,
mm-hmm.
They could have blamed Epstein on coronavirus.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, I'm just saying. Okay, finally in the quick hitters tonight, folks, you may have heard, this goes back to early in the week, President Trump said that he has ordered the U.S. Navy to destroy any of those little pesky mosquito ships the Iranians have been harassing our Navy with over in that part of the world. Well, the head of the Iranian Revolutionary Guard, whose name I think is Baloney.
Oh, okay.
Actually, it's Salami, but I call him Baloney.
Okay.
He has now said that those little pesky mosquito ships will destroy any U.S. Navy vessel that opens fire on them.
I'd like to see them try. They don't know what will hit them.
When he said that, I literally started laughing. Are you kidding me? I mean, you've got destroyers over there. There's probably a U.S. aircraft carrier over there.
Mm-hmm.
And what they've got are basically little ski boats.
Well, you got to also think of it in this aspect. Those little ski boats could actually be kamikaze boats. They could be loaded with more ammunition than we realize.
Well, yeah. I mean, look what they did to the USS Cole.
Correct.
Okay.
And that was not a kamikaze ship. That was just, let's do some damage. But we don't know what's on these little mosquito boats. They could very well be loaded and loaded with ammunition, bombs. They could even have some germ warfare bombs on there. We don't know what's on there.
Well, and that's why the smart thing is not to let them get even close to your Navy ships. You see,
that's when the Navy ships need to take them out before they even get close.
Well, and that's the thing. You see one coming at you, take it out.
Right.
frankly, the order to destroy the Iranian boats came almost a week ago now, almost. The threat from the Iranians came a couple of days ago. And frankly, I mean, here we sit on Saturday. I'm surprised it hasn't been target practice over there already.
Well, you know what? If it has, it'll get here later. Because this is all positive things for President Trump. We take out their little mosquitoes. That's a positive for President Trump. That's the last thing those on the left want.
Well, so you know,
those could be delayed coming out.
Yeah, it could be. Mm-hmm. It could be, but you know, I don't know how delayed it will be, because if it happens, I'm sure President Trump will, at the very least, issue a tweet. If not, hold a press conference and say, okay, here's what happened over in the Arabian Gulf.
Right. Well, you know, this is a little disconcerting, because at the same time this was going on, Iran launched a spy satellite into orbit. It successfully went into orbit. Now, they first said it's a telecommunications satellite.
Right.
We all know what it is. But the problem is, what are its real capabilities besides being an eye in the sky? It might have other capabilities that we're not aware of yet. And it happened at the same time as these boats were messing around with our destroyers.
Right.
Could they send a signal? I mean, we don't know at this point.
I don't know how technologically advanced the Iranians are when it comes to that sort of equipment.
I don't put anything past them.
You can't. You really can't. You know, but you also have to question what their capabilities are. For those people who wonder why President Trump created a Space Force, hello.
It's a reason. Take down.
Hello.
Satellite down.
That's something else we're going to have to kind of keep an eye on and follow. I like I said, I'm surprised we haven't been shooting ducks in a barrel over there already, because I just got a feeling they're going to test President Trump's true grit, and they're going to find out that he isn't going to take a whole lot of crap from them. So
I sincerely hope so. We had enough weak presidents in the recent past. We need President Trump to stay strong. He's strong, but we need him to stay strong.
My guess is, if the Iranians try to harass our Navy over there again, they will only do it one more time.
I hope so, but I'm still a bit leery of what exactly is on those boats.
Well, I am too, but like I said, the Navy sees one of those little boats coming right at it. You know, look, our Navy, okay, the weapons on board some of those Navy ships, they can hit a trash can at like 30, 40 miles.
Yep, and it can also, if what I'm suspecting is on those little mosquito boats, if we were to take, that kind of action as they were coming, I don't know what could be released.
I don't worry about it. Sink them.
Sink them, yeah.
Sink them. I mean, that's what it comes down to. All right, folks, 90-minute podcast coming at you today. That's the first segment, two to go. We're going to take a little bit of a break here, get a little station ID in. And when we come back, Diane's got this with Pandora's Box Open versus Medical Truths. Then, about 30 minutes after that, I'll take over with Patriots Rising. Lots to get to, lots of information to depart, and we'll be back right after this. So stick with us. More Right Side Patriots coming up.
Listening live to Right Side Patriots Radio on RSPRadio1.com, where we, Diane Sorey and Craig Andreessen, present the best in conservative commentary, news, investigative reports, and talk every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. EST. On RSP Radio, you will hear the unedited truth and not what the MSM wants you to believe or tries to tell you is truth. Together, we can and will continue to make America great again. And thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots, where truth alone prevails.
You're listening to RSPRadio1.com.
Hi. I'm Craig Andreessen from TheNationalPatriot.com, where you'll find hard-hitting conservative commentary, investigative reports, and plenty of political snark. That's humor for you liberals out there. When you're looking for a common-sense approach to the latest events and not the fake news you get from the mainstream liberal media, you'll find it at TheNationalPatriot.com. For more great conservative commentary, check out Diane Sorey's op-eds at thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com and join both of us on Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern on RSPRadio1.com. Welcome back to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot, Diane Sorey at the Patriot Factor, with you on a special podcast. Glad to have you on board. We enjoy our beaners, our pod beaners.
Yes.
Thank you for making us what we are over there and helping us grow, folks. We appreciate that. Okay, so, Diane. There's been an item or two that have floated through the news recently. I don't know. It's hard to keep track of because we hear hardly anything of it. But apparently a virus has been making its way across the fruited plains. And
the thing that is 24/7 news coverage with nothing else allowed, that thing.
Well, yeah, I guess if you want to call it that, I barely notice it. But you have looked into this thing to a great extent here, and there are some medical truths that need to be told that you're not going to hear from the mainstream media. And Diane, you have more or less kind of combined opening Pandora's box versus those medical truths. So what's right. The deal?
And it starts with two questions. First, did you ever wonder why any of the doctors and politicians appearing together on TV do not wear masks or gloves, while at the same time, they're not standing or sitting the minimally recommended 6 feet apart? Second, have you ever wondered if COVID-19 opened the proverbial Pandora's box, as many want us to believe, or is COVID-19 but another in a round of naturally occurring diseases being unleashed upon man via nature's wrath? Or did man have a hand in doing so? Well, I'm going to try to answer those questions from a tangible medical standpoint alone by eliminating all the media-hyped scare tactics. So let's begin with the fact that we currently live in a world crowded with over 7.8 billion people, now having to expand into nature's domain. And with that expansion, we see animal species having to fight to exist within the lands where our civilization not only encroaches upon their habitats, but destroys what is, or should I say what was, nature's once thriving ecosystem. And it's this very act of encroachment that has allowed cross-species contamination to become more prevalent, as we and once isolated species are now being forced to share the same space, literally, too many times. And this sharing of space also means that mysterious viruses that once only existed in animal species, species other than man, have now been afforded the opportunity to become threats to our kind as naturally occurring, genetically error-prone RNA viruses, zoonotic viruses they're called, have been given the chance to make us their new hosts, payback of sorts, for not respecting nature's boundaries, perhaps. And with these newly emerging viruses now forging a host parasitic relationship with mankind, they do so silently, exponentially spread while we play medical games, political games, I should say, using media-generated panic as, Craig, our weapon of choice against diseases that can and do kill us.
Well, and like you say, there are so many of these that come along from time to time. So, obviously, I think we all know what the you know, disease of the day is right now. Right. But maybe a better question, once you explain that, is not how should we deal with this, but how should we deal with this, with the emphasis on should.
Right. And like Greg said the killer du jour, as I call it, is COVID-19, and as expected, it did spread into America's communities. What with there being no vaccine or antiviral drugs to stop, let alone treat it, until the hydrochloroquine Z-Pak combo, that is. And with some doctors appearing on TV still claiming that we need more testing regarding said drug combo, know that testing takes time, and time is not our friend in regards to COVID-19, no matter that the infamous curve is finally starting to show signs of flattening out. So, how should we as a country deal with this previously unknown virus that has spread worldwide with a spread rate higher than that of the ordinary flu, yet similar to that of the novel emergent influenzas that have occasionally swept the globe? And an example of that, folks, is the Spanish flu of 1918 and also the flu that hit in 1957. Well, how about with facts regarding what really are the precautions needed to help prevent such a mass infection? How about with medical truisms that involve only simple common sense approaches instead of media-induced panic? And how about with the Democrats? Stop turning a disease that affects persons of all political persuasions into a Trump hate fest. For no one has worked harder or more tirelessly to get this nightmare under control than our president has. But the fact is that instead of the Democrats and the media helping him, instead of them banding together with President Trump in this time of national crisis, a crisis that should have no political agenda attached to it, all we see is House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and now New York Governor Andrew Cuomo trying to place blame on our president for the growing number of sick and dying Americans. And until such nonsense stops even with the curve starting to flatten out, COVID-19 will remain not just a disease, but a political weapon pointed and aimed at November 3rd, 2020.
Yep,
truthful. Now, as for medical truisms, layman style, instead of the medically veiled doublespeak we're currently being force-fed again by the media, first know that the virus causing the previously what were unexplained pneumonias in some patients has been isolated, and its RNA sequence has now been uploaded to numerous medical research websites. And this has allowed independent scientists from all over the world to study COVID-19's genetic structure, thus also allowing for the creating of new and more timely tests to aid in diagnosing its presence or the presence of antibodies. Antibodies which help in the developing of a vaccine that will eventually bring this nightmare virus under control. And also know that while it's true that COVID-19 is spread via person-to-person contact and that social distancing does work, albeit up to a point, what's not being talked about is one of the most important things of all, herd immunity. And herd immunity can easily be explained if one understands that as a virus, as COVID-19 keeps spreading here in the U.S. and worldwide, enough people will eventually have been infected and survived so that they become immune to that particular variation of the disease, with the side effect, Craig, being that the outbreak will die out on its own as the virus basically runs out of its much-needed susceptible hosts.
All right. Now, most people, myself included, when you start hearing medical terms and medical terminology and you start listening to the medical talking heads and news reports, your mind kind of does a shift and all you hear is Charlie Brown's teacher.
Right.
You know, wah, 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 wah. Can you boil this down? Can you boil the bloviation down on this and talk about this herd immunity in such a way that even I can understand it?
Sure. Simply what it means is that when enough folks in any given population become resistant to a virus, its spread naturally stops because not enough people are able to transmit it. And not to be forgotten is that we are exposed to viruses on a daily basis with no ill effects at all, simply because we have become immune to them through exposure we didn't even know had happened. And herd immunity also is applicable to vaccines, no matter that the level of vaccination needed to achieve herd immunity varies by disease, but overall ranges anywhere between 83% to 94%. Now, two examples of vaccine-induced herd immunity being the polio and measles vaccines, which have made those specific viral diseases, for the most part, diseases of the past here in our country. But also know, vaccine or no vaccine, and this is very important, by overly suppressing COVID-19's transmission, as in via the mandated social distancing, while being strongly advised to stay put in our own homes, means that we as a country will find it hard to build up that much needed herd immunity. Now that's a catch-22 situation of a medically dangerous kind. Now, as for protecting ourselves via social distancing, there are things you need to know about exactly how COVID-19 is spread pertaining to the logistics of the virus in regards to said mode of spread, things the media has yet to report on. And while we all know that the general medical consensus is that COVID-19 is spread mostly by airborne person-to-person contact via respiratory droplets courtesy of the now dreaded sneeze, cough, and for some, the so-called sloppy talk, what's not being told is that the size of the droplets involved affects not only the degree of transmission, but also the corresponding area of safety needed for one to be safe from COVID-19 spread. And while it's true that one will only get sick if said droplets land in one's mouth or in their nose, the virus's mucous membrane entry points, and then are inhaled into one's lungs, as per the CDC's own words, one still needs to know the critical difference between large and small droplets, as, Craig, it affects the amount of distance needed between people so as not to become infected with COVID-19.
Okay. So I'm trying to get all this straight. Maybe the best place to start here is, what is the coronavirus? Is it a big drop? Is it a little drop? Is it a drop in the middle? What are we looking at here?
Okay, I'm going to start with large airborne droplets, and that's what COVID-19's droplets are classified as. Along with the 6 feet now considered safe social distancing range. Now, these large droplets, when they are spewed out via a cough or sneeze or sloppy talk where people spit out saliva, they very quickly need to come into contact with someone's mucous membranes in order for someone to get sick. Otherwise, they are rendered inert, actually falling to the ground after having no point of contact. But small droplets, on the other hand, the kind which cause the common cold, remain suspended in the air for some time after someone coughs, sneezes, or sloppy talks, thus being able to infect others not in their original fallout range. But here's where it gets sticky. While COVID-19's large droplets are classified as being large, more recent studies have shown that their fallout range might be greater than the 6 feet previously thought, and might actually be closer to 8 feet or more. And this might help explain why the infamous curve is not falling faster as more and more folks are getting infected, but, and this is another key point, the severity of illness and the rate of needed hospitalizations now seems to be less severe than before. Now, could it be that herd immunity finally is starting to kick in as more folks get infected? Remember, this particular virus never existed before in humans, and therefore no one had immunity to it. Or could COVID-19 finally be slowly dying a natural death as the summer heat starts to kick in? The answer to both is a possible yes. And also know that once COVID-19 has been around for some time and herd immunity does start to build up in the general population, we might well see that if the virus does return next winter, that it could be rendered more of a nuisance, like the seasonal winter flu, than the harbinger of death the media has now made it out to be. Even the ever-partisan Dr. Anthony Fauci would agree with that, as last month he had an article published in the New England Journal of Medicine to just that effect, which of course he never mentions in interviews or in President Trump's press briefings, as to do so would take political ammo away from his media liberal cohorts. Now, even before that, let me say that even if COVID-19 does become a flu-like illness, it too could morph, just like the flu does every year, basically rendering any vaccine now being created tenuous at best, making herd immunity still our best line of defense.
You see that herd immunity thing is the key, it sounds like. But Diane, at the very beginning of this segment, at the beginning of your op-ed, you brought up a what I think is a great question about masks, and I don't want to let that just slide by. So get back to the wearing of masks.
Okay. And my first question was, why aren't any of the doctors, politicians, and even President Trump, when appearing together on TV, not wearing masks or gloves, while at the same time not standing or sitting the recommended 6 feet apart during these televised press briefings? And I say it's simply because they know that there is no real protection against this disease, short, of herd immunity or a vaccine. That's why many wearing masks and gloves and practicing social distancing are still falling victim to COVID-19. Simply, if the virus deems you a suitable host, it will seek you out and infect you. And no feel like you're doing something protection will actually protect you. So, knowing these few all-important medical factors, even if they're in the aforementioned layman's terms, which mine were presented as, coupled with my answering the beginning of the article's questions, the fact remains that President Trump is trying hard to push aside all the political obstacles being thrown in his way in an attempt to get America's economy reopened and people back to work. So don't you think it's time the Democrats stop all their whining and delayed testing about delayed testing? Don't you think it's time to stop all their whining about long-term clinical trials being needed on drugs that have already been proven to work? And don't you think it's time to stop all the media-generated fear-mongering as well as its anti-Trumpisms? Folks, it's time. Just let America be America again. And I, for one, truly hope that day is now coming.
You know, this is a great, great op-ed, folks. And I want you to go to Diane's blog, thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com. It's in the op-ed section, so grab it and share it, because, like I said before, this kind of boils all the bloviation out of it and gives it to you straight. I mean, this is easy to understand stuff. But that doesn't mean, Diane, that you didn't pore through medical journals and medical terminology to do this.
Oh, no. I read medical journals routinely. My husband's in a related medical field, and this is easy reading for me. I could have thrown in, Craig, all the studies in here, all the physics of the droplets and whatever.
But you lose people.
What people really want to hear anymore. What they want to hear is the truth.
Yeah, what can I do? What works? That's it.
And what works is herd immunity. And there's a perfect example of that in Sweden. Stockholm, the capital of Sweden, never closed down. It was kept open. People were like, you know, stay away if you see somebody sick or whatever, but they were never required to do it. Now, X number of months into their thing with this virus, 80%+ of the people in Stockholm now are immune to COVID-19.
That's huge.
Believe me, folks, Google it.
That's huge. And you got to understand something else about Sweden, okay? From a geographic standpoint, square miles and population, it's about the same as the state of Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I mean, with, you know, within a couple hundred thousand, a few hundred thousand when it comes to population, within a, you know, a handful of square miles, relatively speaking, it's about the same as Michigan. Now, Michigan has been locked down tighter than a drum, and they got a huge problem with COVID-19 compared to Sweden.
Right.
Sweden not being locked down at all.
Right. People don't understand, and this is a problem. This is a generational problem because we've been brought up, you have to use antibacterial soap. Our kids can't play in the dirt. You can't do this. You can't do that. We have lost a lot of naturally occurring immunity that would have built up within us because we're not allowing ourselves to be exposed. And that's the problem. Not every virus and bacteria is going to cause problems. I hate to tell people, but our guts are loaded with thousands of bacteria.
Ew.
Yeah, ooh.
But it's true.
But those bacteria are beneficial. We're not even allowing the beneficial ones in anymore.
That's part of the problem.
Right.
That's a big part of the problem, you know. I hate to sound like this, but, you know, kids today, you know, the latest generation of kids have been raised with being sanitized and basically living in a bubble.
Yeah. I mean, antibacterial soap is a great thing, but it became the only thing you should use. And that's why kids are coming down with things that we didn't have. The parents are afraid to let them go out and get dirty.
My God, when I was a kid, our parents had trouble getting us in to clean us up.
Right.
I mean, we were a mess all day long.
You know what? I'm going to use myself as an example. I was a regular kid. I went out and played whatever. A girl, no, I didn't, you know, get as dirty as a boy, whatever. But I have not had a cold, the flu, or even a sore throat since 2004.
Yeah, makes a difference.
I was exposed to things as a kid. My father was a school teacher. He brought things home. I
of
was
course.
Exposed.
You know, we were all exposed when I was a kid. If there was a germ to be had anywhere in the Western Hemisphere, we would find it.
Right.
You know, and we built up immunities to almost everything.
Right.
And, you know, it serves us well as adults.
Right. So, as a kid, I would get two or three colds a year.
Sure. Every kid did.
But not now. Not now. When my kids brought their version of getting sick, when they brought it home from school, I didn't catch it from them because I had already had it and I had immunity what they were now being exposed to.
Exactly.
That's what herd immunity is. You've got to be exposed to these things to be protected from these things.
It's the way it works. It's the way nature works.
And the big experts are only, you know, I wrote this article over a week ago. but only in the past few days have you heard those two words, herd immunity. I'm a layman and I knew it, and yet these doctors bloviating on TV are afraid to say the words.
It's actually, to be perfectly honest with you, during this segment of the podcast today, mm-hmm. it's the first time I've heard the words herd immunity from Diane.
That's a private joke, Craig.
Well, I will take the blame. Okay. We were talking, this goes back about a week ago. Diana and I were talking about stuff. We were talking about this stuff, right? And I was kidding Diane because there was a study that had come out that said heat and humidity and sunlight will kill the coronavirus. And Diana had been saying this for the last month.
Months.
And a half at least, 6 weeks at least. Diane was on that bandwagon. And I was giving her a hard time, and I said, come on, Diane, you never said that, knowing full well that she had. And I said, you never said anything about humidity killing the virus. And I kept drilling in on that humidity thing. And I planted the seed, is what I did.
Right, of calling it herd humidity.
And now even I have trouble saying herd immunity.
Yes.
Because it's become such a joke, an inside joke with Diana and myself. And I thought, well, if she gets through this segment today, it's going to be a miracle. And then I was going to get the blame. So I'm just stepping up and taking the blame right now.
Yes, you're to blame. And I got through it with no herd humidity.
I am so proud. I am so proud. Folks, I want you to go grab Diane's op-ed right out of her op-ed section at thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com. And I want you to share it everywhere because, like I said, the mainstream media isn't going to tell you this. No. And if they even start to tell you this, they're going to bury it in minutia so you can't even understand what they're talking about. This is plain English.
Right.
This is so easy to understand, even I understand it.
Yeah. And again, the summer, the heat, the humidity, and the UV rays will put an end to this. Will it come back next year? Possibly. It could morph. But guess what? When things morph like that, they usually get less because by that time, there are some people with immunities to it. The more people with immunities to it, the less people to transmit it.
The name of the op-ed, Pandora's Box Opened versus Medical Truths. ThePatriotFactor.blogspot.com in the op-ed section. That's where you're going to find it. And from there, you can share it. All right, we're going to take a top-of-the-hour break here. Might not be the top-of-the-hour, depending on what time you're listening to the podcast, but for us right now, it is the top-of-the-hour on a Saturday. We're going to get our little station ID in here, and one more segment to go on the podcast. When we come back, I'll be talking about Patriots Rising. Stay with us. More Right Side Patriots after this.
OTC is go.
Bank of business is go.
PTC is go.
Copyus is go.
Houston flight is go.
Pilot go.
STM is go.
Safety comp is go.
STE is go.
LRD is go.
SRO is go.
CDI is go.
Launch director, NTD, our launch team is ready to proceed at this time.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Right Side Patriots has a message for liberals and the mainstream media.
You can't handle the truth.
So buckle up, snowflakes, because we're about to deliver the politically direct best in conservative commentary, news, and investigative reports. We're telling the truth, and we're not gonna stop. Okay, liberals, back under the bridge with the rest of your fellow trolls and, oh yeah, Thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots.
They are special, special people
on RSPRadio1.com. Welcome back to Right Side Patriots, a special podcast edition of the show. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot, Diane Sorey at the Patriot Factor. And Diane, it's COVID, 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 COVID.
I know. You know what? As you always say, I'm more sick of the virus than I am from the virus, and I don't have the virus.
We just can't get away from it.
No.
We cannot social distance ourselves far enough to get away from this out of the news cycles.
No, it's a 24-hour news cycle. They've become the all COVID-19 news stations.
Well, it really has, but I want to take a few minutes here in this segment. And I want to let people know that there is some good things happening out there. And it's because there's a lot of people that are more sick of it than from it.
Right.
All right. So let's talk about this, called Patriots Rising. We want to congratulate the Democrats. You have engineered yet another disaster for your own party. Your best plan to destroy America by implementing orchestrated havoc on our economy, your attempt to keep people locked away, out of sight, and unable to gather, work, rally for the greater good of this country, has failed utterly. While your propagandists in the mainstream media did their level best to maintain the fear factor and keep the panic alive, the people you have tried so desperately to keep under wraps have given you the finger. Like all of your great plans over the past 3+ years, like all of your attempts to force President Trump from office, like all of your surefire liberal ideas meant to fundamentally transform this country, your attempt to weaponize a pandemic has come crashing down around you. The attempt to never let a crisis go to waste via lockdown orders from liberal governors, the call to have people rat out their neighbors for the grand offense of going outside, and the closures of public places and private businesses, all of it, has ultimately failed. In Lansing, Michigan last week, Americans carrying American flags, toting the Gadsden flag, gathered in spite of the draconian orders of Governor Whitmer and blockaded the entire downtown area in protest. But unlike all the liberal protests we've seen over the years since the Obama regime, there was no looting. No businesses were burned to the ground. There was no violence. Nobody got shot. And when the protesters went home at the end of the day, there was not a speck of litter to be seen. Diane, last weekend in California, the liberal powers that be tried to put a stop to America's youth gathering to recreate by dumping 37 tons of sand into a skate park in San Clemente, effectively turning it into a giant sandbox. Yet the skateboarding came to an end. Oh, yes, it did. But it lit the fire of civil disobedience. And the next day, Ralph's skate court in San Clemente had essentially become Ralph's pit bike fun park.
Now, didn't something also happen last Sunday in San Diego, which is another liberal stronghold?
You know, you're right. It did. And it is, in fact, what inspired me to put this whole commentary together. Last Sunday, I'm sitting here at my computer, I'm going through the news feeds, and what do I find but a live Facebook feed coming out of San Diego, a liberal stronghold where Americans had had quite enough. Protesters there marched along a biker-jogger trail, and that road runs right along the ocean. They also carried American and Gadsden flags, and they openly defied the order to stay at home. As they walked, the live stream on Facebook was filled with the sounds of drivers honking horns in support and cheers as the protesters waved back to them. Perhaps the best part of the anti-tyranny protests is that unlike the liberal-led protests since the Obama regime, nobody was bussed in. Nobody got paid. These protests, all of them, are 100% organic. These are grassroots Americans who take a stand in open defiance of unconstitutional mandates, and in what can only be seen as the ultimate irony, the mainstream media is being forced to cover them. Last Monday, April 20th, Sarah Brady, a 40-year-old mother, was arrested while participating in a small gathering at a playground in Meridian, Idaho. Now, when the police showed up to break up the kids having fun outdoors, Brady challenged them to arrest her, and they did. They cuffed her and drove her to jail, where about 100 like-minded patriots showed up in protest. What exactly had Sarah Brady done wrong? Well, she exercised her right to peaceably assemble. Tired of being locked down, she opted for being locked up. She was arrested for trespassing at a city park, paid for by taxpayers, of which she is one. Yes, yes, she was there with her kids. And yes, Meridian police took her away without seeing to it that her children were taken care of. And Diane, I think if I were Sarah Brady, I would retain a good constitutional attorney, and I would sue the city of Meridian blind.
Oh, absolutely. And I'd also sue them for putting her children in danger because they didn't provide for them. But Craig, it's interesting that it wasn't just in California that this kind of things were happening. And they all had the same basic context.
Right.
Patriotism.
Right. Patriotism. And it was going on everywhere. It was California, it was Texas, it was Michigan, it was Florida, it was Virginia. The list goes on and on and on. And how do we know these are all organic? Because they're all happening at once. One springs up another one. They're all taking place at the same time. You see, when you think back to the liberal protests, the ones we saw in the Obama regime, it would be one big protest that would go on for a week, and then it would be over. And then you'd see another one spring up somewhere else. Remember Occupy Wall Street?
Oh, God, yes.
There wasn't another protest going on until that one died because somebody was paying for it. Somebody was bussing people in for it, right?
And we all know who that somebody was.
Yeah, well, absolutely. It's George Soros. But this is popping up everywhere all at once. These are organic grassroots movements, okay?
Exactly.
People gathered, people marched, people protested, people waved the flag. They demanded an end to the tyranny. And perhaps the most telling of all of the protests came in the form of businesses that had been ordered closed by tyrannical state governments to begin to open and defy such orders and open their doors to the public. Nancy Pelosi and company, purely for ethical reasons, have left American small business owners hanging. Pelosi has kept the House out and its members out of Washington, while the Small Business Association ran out of funds to assist the backbone of the American economy to remain viable and their employees to remain paid. That's the people's house. That's where the business of the people is supposed to be done. And when the people needed the House and its members the most, Pelosi, the Speaker of the House, shut it down and shut them out. Why? Well, the answer is simple. Had Pelosi kept the House in session, they would have had to have taken action to stop the economic bleeding. They would have had to have ponied up for small businesses, and they would have had to have confronted their own corruption. Corruption? Yes, corruption. You see, before Pelosi sent them all home, the House passed a pork-laden stimulus package that provided millions upon millions of taxpayer dollars to entities that had nothing whatsoever to do with the so-called crisis. $25 million to the Kennedy Center, $75 million to the National Endowment for the Arts, $350 million of your taxpayer dollars that will go directly to illegal aliens and refugees, $75 million for public broadcasting, and how about $10 billion for the U.S. Postal Service? Also included in that package was $25 million for congressional pay raises. Oh, sure, it was cleverly disguised as $25 million for House salaries and expenses necessary to prevent, prepare for, and respond to coronavirus, but make no mistake, it's a pay raise. Note the word salaries that's so neatly tucked into that wording. Here's your other big clue that liberal denials regarding that $25 million being a pay raise are lies. It says in the rest of it, it is for, and I quote, expenses necessary to prevent, prepare for, and respond to coronavirus, unquote. And as soon as it was passed, Pelosi saw to it that the House took steps to prevent, prepare, and respond to coronavirus by sending all the members of the House home with their full pay and a raise. Diane, you better believe that is corruption.
Yeah. Now, we all know that President Trump did a three-step plan to get the economy back in order. States are slowly coming back to life, but in very limited terms in step one.
Well, that's true. You know, here in my state of Nebraska, we're going to let up. Our governor is letting up on some of the restrictions beginning May 4th, but it's going to be a slow process. Okay. Right. While red states are starting to come back to life and reignite the nation's economy, while people in red states begin to go back to work, the governors of blue states like Michigan, New York, and California are vowing to extend their lockdowns and further encourage people to literally spy on their neighbors, to take pictures, and then turn them in should they violate the tyrannical mandates. Mm-hmm. In doing so, they are engineering their own state's economic demises, and that is not going to play well in November. Naturally, Democrats are desperately trying to blame President Trump. They are now accusing President Trump of being solely responsible for every COVID-19-related death in America. Pelosi intends to launch an investigation into President Trump's COVID-19 response. That's pretty rich, since neither the House nor Nancy Pelosi can launch anything while she's sitting at home showing off her $25,000 fridge and her $12 per pint ice cream stockpile. And what of President Trump's response to all of this? President Trump and his team hasn't left Washington since all of this began. They've been working night and day to protect Americans and businesses. President Trump pulled together the greatest team of responders in American history, American private businesses and private industries. He has them retooling their manufacturing process to churn out record numbers of ventilators and protective gear in record time. He's cut through the red tape that prevents drug manufacturers from testing new treatments, and he's had our military moving at warp speed to set up and staff emergency treatment centers, which brings me to another key point here that nobody in the mainstream media nor has President Trump himself covered: our military. In the decimated state Obama left it, would not have been capable of what they've done over the past couple of months had President Trump not seen to it that our military was rebuilt and infused with $2.5 trillion over the past four fiscal years. None of what our great military has done over the past 2 months would have been possible under the Obama regime. Not at the speed at which it's been done under the leadership of President Trump, and the Democrats damn well know it. And finally, there is something which needs to be made perfectly clear. While President Trump has been masterful in his response to this manufactured crisis, he's also been multitasking. He has further exposed the mainstream media and liberals in elected office as being shills for China and the puppet of the Chinese, the WHO. You see, he has elected liberals out there praising the WHO, the WHO, which did nothing but cover China's ass in all of this. And he has exposed the mainstream media as partisan propagandists in a COVID-19 press briefing. But Diane, President Trump's multitasking didn't stop there.
No, he has put together other things, including what has become, like I said before, the most comprehensive economic comeback in history. And it's done in three steps.
It's a fascinating thing to watch. You see, every Republican senator but one has been invited to participate in this economic comeback, right? Mm-hmm. The one that has not been invited is Utah's Mitt Romney.
Deservedly so.
You're right, deservedly so. You see, he's proved himself to be the liberals' best friend since he got elected in Utah. It's one of two what I think are shrewd maneuvers on Trump's part about a week ago, as it puts Romney, who has been against everything President Trump has done since the 2016 election, in a very tough spot. Romney will either have to praise the Trump-engineered economic comeback, or he will outwardly have to reject American greatness. President Trump's other shrewd maneuver was what he did to the combination of the mainstream media and liberal governors when he said that as president, he has the absolute authority to reopen the nation. That proclamation made liberal heads explode, and they immediately took the bait and proclaimed that Trump was a dictator. Trump's response was classic, and it showed the whole thing to be well orchestrated when just a day or two later, President Trump let it be known that it was up to the governors to make the determination as to when to reopen their individual states. All of a sudden, the blame for either moving too slow or too fast was placed directly on the shoulders of President Trump's detractors. And no longer would they, the mainstream media or his detractors, be able to blame President Trump with any degree of merit. By that maneuver, red states will see their economies take off like a rocket, while blue states will stagnate and decline, and blinded by their hatred of President Trump, they never saw it coming, and they have nobody to blame but themselves. So I ask, is this a great country or what?
Well, America has always been a great country. I don't care what anyone says. However, under certain presidents, America's greatness was relegated to the bottom.
Yeah, it's true.
And problems with America were given the top spots. Well, that all changed when Hillary lost.
You know, it's when President Trump comes out and says, it's up to me. I have the ultimate authority. I'm in total control. You know, he knew the liberals were going to jump on that. Come on. And they did. They jumped on that bait. And he's, actually, it's up to the governors.
Well, you know, what's also people need to understand, Trump is a very successful businessman.
Oh, yeah.
What better person to kickstart the economy, get it up and running again, than a successful businessman? We don't need a politician to do that. We need a business expert to do that. And that's what he is.
That's what he is. That's his wheelhouse.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's interesting to watch these protests as they pick up steam around the country because people have had it. They've had enough. They're tired of being locked away.
I know I am.
I think anybody with any degree of honesty is. They're sick and tired of it. You know, you look at this governor in Michigan, Whitmer.
Mm-hmm.
her own state lawmakers are now trying to figure out a way to take some of her power away from her.
And she came out. Like she came out. Hold on.
Yeah.
Before we went on podcast.
Yeah. What she said is amazing.
Yeah. She came on and said, no one will take power away from me. Those are the words of a dictator, not an elected official.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, next Tuesday, I've got what could almost be considered a part two to this commentary. I mean, it takes this a step further, okay? Mm-hmm. But, you know, I hope people will go to thenationalpatriot.com. I hope they will grab the link to this article and share it out there, just as I hope they go and grab your article, your op-ed, from thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com and share both of these, because whether it's the medical facts or the commentary truth, you need to hear both. You know, and that's what we're providing here. In my article, Patriots Rising, on the Patriot, thenationalpatriot.com, I have four videos embedded in there. You need to watch all four of those, folks. You need to see what people are doing, and you need to see what happened to that woman who got arrested for having her kids at the park.
What was the actual outcome? Did they release her?
They did release her. They hauled her off downtown. They cited her for trespassing, they booked her. They booked her, fingerprinted her, mugshotted her, booked her, and then turned her loose. Luckily, she was with some friends at the park, and the friends took her kids, you know, until she could get home. So, but I mean, here she is in a park with her kids and a very small group of people, and the dictatorial powers that be in Idaho send the police out there, and the police, all they could do was what they were ordered to do, arrest her. But when you watch the videos, folks, you'll notice something. She's out there because, oh, she's violating the order. She's not wearing a mask. She's out in public. She's on a playground. The police aren't wearing masks that arrest her.
Right.
They walk right into the whole group, stand there and have conversations with them, then place this woman under arrest, Sarah Brady, and drive her away in the back of their car. Nobody's wearing a mask. Makes you wonder. Now, before we wrap this up in this little 90-minute podcast here, I came across something on YouTube a couple of days ago, and I want to play it for you. You know, we all hear about the social distancing and do this and don't do that and don't do that and do this, right?
Mm-hmm.
One woman on the internet has boiled this all down and cleared it, because there's been a lot of confusion, right?
Okay.
I mean, people don't know what they're supposed to do anymore. You hear one thing from entity A and you hear the opposite from entity B, you know. So this one woman on the internet, she has boiled this all down and put it all together. Folks, I want you to listen to the next 3.5 minutes here before we wrap up. This will clear up any confusion as to how you should behave and act and what you need to do in this whole COVID-19 situation. Take a listen.
I really don't understand why everybody isn't following the same rules right now. They're very clear, so let's take a minute and let's go over them again. First, you must not leave the house for any reason, unless, of course, you have a reason, and then you may leave the house. All stores are closed except those that are open, and all stores must close unless, of course, they need to stay open. This virus is deadly. but don't be afraid of it. It can only kill people who are vulnerable and also those who are not vulnerable. We should stay locked down until the virus stops infecting people. And it will only stop infecting people if enough of us get infected that we build immunity. So it is very important that we get infected and also do not get infected. You should not go to the doctor's office or the hospital unless you have to go there. Unless, of course, you are too sick to go there. This virus has no effect on children except for those children in which it affects. The virus remains active on different surfaces for 2 hours or 4 hours or 6 hours, but in most cases it's days and not hours, and it needs a damp environment or a cold environment that is warm and dry in the air, unless the air is plastic. Schools are closed, so you need to homeschool your children unless you can send them to school because you are not home. If you are at home, you can school your children using various portals and online classrooms unless you have poor internet, more than one child, only one computer, or you are working from home. Baking cakes can be considered math, science, or art. If you are home educating, you can include household chores within their education curriculum. And if you are home educating, you may start drinking at approximately 10 a.m. every day. If you are not home educating children, you may also start drinking at approximately 10 a.m. Masks are useless at protecting you against the virus, but you still need to wear one because it can save lives. And in some cases, it may even be mandatory, but also maybe not. You must not go to work, but you can get another job, at which point you may go to work. Stay home. I don't know how many more celebrities we need to have tell you how important it is to go outside and take care of your mental health. There is no shortage of groceries in the supermarket. There are simply many things missing. You don't need to go buy a bunch of toilet paper, but you should buy some in case you need it. If you are sick, you may go out once you are better, but those in your household, they cannot go out once you are better unless, of course, they need to go out. Animals are not affected by the virus, except for that cat that tested positive in Belgium in February, plus a couple tigers. The number of corona-related deaths will be announced daily, but we don't know how many people are infected because we were only testing those who are almost dead to determine if that's what they will die of. The people who die of corona who are not counted won't or will be counted, but maybe not. To help protect yourself during these times, you should be eating well and exercising, but exercising only eating what you have at home to avoid going to the stores unless you need toilet paper or a fence panel. It's important to get fresh air, but don't go to parks, but do go walk in other places. Just don't sit down unless you are old or pregnant. But if you do sit down, don't sit for too long. Unless you are old and you are pregnant, in which case you need to sit down. But if you do sit down, don't eat unless you've had a long walk, which you are allowed to do if you are old or pregnant, except for times in which you aren't. Don't visit old people, but you have a moral obligation to take care of old people and bring them food and medicine. And finally, no businesses will go down due to coronavirus except those businesses that go down due to COVID-19. I hope this cleared up any questions about what we should and should not be doing during this time. Please educate your friends and family with this information so we can remove any...
Well, there you go. That ought to clear it up.
You know, there's been a lot of these funny... takes on the virus, and one of them that always gets to me is she's a comedian. Her name is Laura Cleary. Oh, she's on Facebook, she's on YouTube, she's all over. Well, she has a coronavirus workout and she sings this little song to it, and it is hysterical.
You know, people are being very creative with this. And you got to love it. You got to appreciate, you know, that type of a sense of humor.
Sure.
You know, and
you can't laugh about it. I mean, what are we going to sit here and cry all day?
Well, that's just it. You know, this lady, she actually sees through the smoke screen. She sees it for what it is. And she's just poking at it with a sharp stick. And personally, I love it.
We do the same thing. We actually see through it, too, except we're not funny enough to carry it off as comedy. We have to put it in political commentary.
Folks, I want you to go to Diane's blog, thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com. Grab that op-ed of hers called Pandora's Box Open versus Medical Truths. Then go over to my blog, The National Patriot, at thenationalpatriot.com. Grab the article Patriots Rising and share both of them at will. And with that, Diane, I think it's time to wrap up this little 90-minute podcast episode. Hopefully, we've got all the technical bugs worked out of this thing, so we'll be live on Tuesday night, 7 o'clock Eastern.
Well, all I can say is we've got our fingers crossed.
Well, and if not, we've got a damn good team of IT people, so.
That's true, but I have a sneaky suspicion that it's going to take until my new super-duper computer gets here on Wednesday.
Well, and then that thing's got to get all set up. So, yep. Folks, look, it's Saturday. We hope you have a great weekend. Go out and defy some stay-at-home mandate, get some fresh air, and have some fun.
Yes.
Diane, time to say goodbye.
Bye, guys.
Goodbye, everybody. Have a great weekend.